During 2016, in the lead up to the presidential election between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, WikiLeaks published thousands of leaked emails sent and received by the Democratic National Convention. Many of these emails came from the account of Clinton's campaign manager, John Podesta, who had a long political background being chief of staff to Bill Clinton and counselor to Barack Obama. The emails reveal corruption at the heart of the Clinton Foundation and the party's relationship with the media and banks. But there was something else hidden deep within these emails. As many began digging into the contents of Podesta's emails, they discovered bizarre references to pizza and other food. Phrases such as, "The realtor found a handkerchief, I think it has a map that seems pizza related," and "I'm dreaming of your hot dog stand in Hawaii," and "I consider ice cream, its purchase and consumption, serious business," and "I think Obama spent $65,000 of the taxpayers' money flying in pizza dogs from Chicago for a private party at the White House not long ago. I assume we are using the same channels." Out of WikiLeaks' 2,060 Podesta emails, there are 149 references to pizza, 73 references to hot dogs, 85 to cheese, 78 to pasta, 41 to sauce, 84 to ice cream, and 47 to walnut. All in very bizarre context that have nothing to do with food. Who sits in their office dreaming of a hot dog stand in Hawaii, or arranges to get pizza for an hour? And why are John Podesta, his brother Tony Podesta, and their affiliates obsessed with pizza? Pizza and hot dogs, you see, is actually code for something else. You've probably never heard of this because you're not a disgusting paedophile, but like the world of the mafia, paedophilia has its own language and code. To really understand this, we need to look closer at James Alefantis and the Washington DC pizza restaurant Comet Ping Pong, that is referenced so many times in the emails and was often used to host Clinton and Obama fundraisers. Meet James Alefantis. In 2012, GQ magazine described him as one of the 50 most powerful men in Washington, D.C. How is it possible that a small restaurant owner even makes it onto this list? Let's look at the restaurant's representation of itself. Here is the artwork of Arrington D. Dionso that covers an entire wall space in the restaurant. Creepy people with antlers holding heads. And not the biggest Trump fan either. Nothing too bad, I guess, but these paintings certainly do not seem that suitable for a family-friendly place. What about some of the bands that play regularly at Comet? Images of blood and gore? Doesn't seem like it should be for all ages, as the posters suggest. However, when looking deeper and browsing Alefantis' and the restaurant's Instagram pages, which have since been deleted, things become slightly more troubling. Why so many babies? Why the disgusting sexual references to pizza? Why is there a young girl in a t-shirt with pizza slut written on it? And why are his friends calling this the kill room? And just rinse it off when you're done? What's with the obsession with weird pandas and little coffins? And what the hell is this guy doing? This prompted me to go back and look closer at the artwork taste of Alefantis, Comet Ping Pong's Hired Entertainment, and the Podesta brothers. I stumbled on this poster for Comet Ping Pong, with what looks to be bodies floating away from a central body and becoming more opaque each time. Through this image, the poster directly references the work of Kim Noble, an artist with dissociative identity disorder and over 13 different personalities. Kim was a victim of satanic ritual sexual abuse and trauma-based mind control. She has openly discussed this, and it is reminiscent of the CIA's MK-Ultra mind control operations during World War II, the same operations that Kubrick's A Clockwork Orange explores. These paintings are highly disturbing, and it makes me feel sick just looking at them. Interestingly, here is one of her pieces called Key. Notice the Kabbalah Sephiro, or the Tree of Life. Why does Comet Ping Pong's posters reference these works? And is this just a coincidence? Well, perhaps not. Elefantis did own an art gallery called Strand on Volta in Washington, D.C. The Podesta brothers are close associates of Elefantis, with the former hosting regular pizza parties at Tony Podesta's house. Tony Podesta is a political lobbyist and art collector. Here he is standing by a huge piece in his house hanging from the ceiling. It is called the Arch of Hysteria and features a headless body contorted and twisted. It is also a reference to the serial killer Jeffrey Dahmer, who left his victims in a similar pose, and reminiscent of The Exorcist, a film about demonic possession of a young girl. Other artwork displayed in Podesta's house are that of Serbian painter Biljana Jerjevic. Here are some of his pieces. Podesta and his wife are also great admirers of Patricia Piccinini. Here are some of her artwork. Again, this makes me feel sick, and I have no idea why someone would want to collect this stuff and display it proudly in their home. This is not artistic, but grotesque and obvious in its reference to child predation. And then there is the case of those regular performers at Comet Ping Pong. Here is one speaking.
Welcome, friendly people, to Comet Pizza and Ping Pong. Have any of you enjoyed this special pizza here tonight?
But no, she didn't. She held on to that child all the way to the end. And the fucked up thing was really, it was after it was born. I had to put that shit down. Euthanasia.
You're
porn. I was like, this is what happens when we're just like babies. And it gets like, and it's like all this noise.
What do they mean when saying they had to put that shit down in reference to a newborn baby? And again, this does not look like a family-friendly place in which all ages should be welcome. This is very creepy. It was not long after the WikiLeaks release of Podesta's emails that people started to put two and two together. And just like that, Pizzagate was born, which, through a lot of research and investigation, discovered that there was a huge network of child trafficking taking place in the heart of Washington, D.C., and which involved sexually molesting children and torturing them, and that the Podestas, Clintons, Obama, and other Democratic officials were at the heart of. All these weird references to food such as pizza, ice cream, chicken, walnut sauce, pasta, hot dogs was nothing other than the preferences of pedophiles. They use these codes to communicate, hiding things in plain sight and deceiving the masses to think they just like the food pizza. At first it was hard for me to get my head around, but there were just so many things that didn't seem right. For instance, why did one of Podesta's emails reference still being in the torture room? And what was this supposed kill room on Elefantis' Instagram? And then there is this email. Why is a close associate of Hillary Clinton emailing her to say that they were hoping to sacrifice a chicken to Moloch? Who talks like this? And there it is, the reference to Moloch. Something we did not explore in the previous episode, but it is vital to touch on now, is what Moloch, Saturn, Baphomet, Baal, Nimrod all had in common other than being demonic gods and synonymous with Lucifer. Why does the Bible call Milcom the abomination? You see, Moloch, Milcom, Saturn, Baal are the gods associated with child sacrifice. Jeremiah 32-35 states, "And they built the high places of Baal, which are in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to cause their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire unto Molech, which I commanded them not, neither came it into my mind that they should do this abomination, to cause Judah to sin." This is why Saturn in old paintings is depicted as eating a child, and we see people offering a child here as a sacrifice to Moloch. It was becoming more and more evident something very bad was going on, and a lot of people were collectively starting to piece together the Pizzagate puzzle. But then the inevitable happened. The media, as they always do, intervened swiftly to do what they do best: improperly debunk the so-called theory.
A Kelly File exclusive tonight on the conspiracy theory that came to be known as Pizzagate. File exclusive, James Alefantis, owner of Comet Ping Pong in Washington, D.C. James, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
What a terrible ordeal this must have been for you.
It has been. And it's hard to appear that images of children and other people were being taken from social media and blasted throughout the internet with this insane conspiracy idea filled with just lies about this impossible international conspiracy of human traffickers involving Hillary Clinton.
Oh my goodness. And you. And you're a Democratic donor. There's nothing illegal about that.
No.
It doesn't make you a pedophile or somebody who's part of a child sex ring. One of the pictures that Trey showed in the report, people have been pointing to, well, look at this, is evidence. There's a child with her hands taped down. And you say there's a very simple explanation for that.
Yeah, I'm very glad that you've had us on today. It's an incredible thing. We've invited your cameras into the restaurant because people have all of these ideas. And this is, people use social media. This is a picture of my godchild in a completely innocent place, very happily playing with her sister. Her sister's taped her hands. Her parents are there. I put this on my Instagram with their approval. Right there, it sits there on the internet for a year and a half, mm-hmm. and people start building these lies and falsities about innocent people and then spreading this image over the internet.
When people talk about fake news, you know, a lot of folks just roll their eyes like, oh, you know, whatever, people figure it out. The truth is they don't always figure it out.
It's a pack of lies, and it's dangerous.
And to be accused of being a pedophile because you have emails that talk about pizza. When you run a pizza parlor, I mean, there are going to be emails like, well, the word pizza seems out of place. This is fake. Fake.
Thank you. It's true. Yes, it's been just, it's like being terrorized. It's been over a month of daily death threats to me, hundreds of phone calls to the restaurant, asking for all kinds of wild things like ordering a cheese pizza, something that we just do. We're a pizza place,
right?
A family-friendly pizza place. We've been in existence for 10 years in the same location. So it was difficult and shocking. Now, our community has rallied around us.
Good.
So we have people coming in. There's families and kids. We're there. We have private security. We're trying to make sure that our staff feel safe, that our community feels safe, that our customers feel safe.
What's the bottom line quickly? What's the takeaway? What needs to change?
I think there has to be some way of breaking these things up. It's impossible that this news can go from one person to the next in a grand conspiracy theory, and there's no reporting, no ability to do anything.
I know Reddit has banned this topic on its website. I mean, slowly but surely, those who help fan it are trying to dial it back out of the safety, you know, out of concerns for the safety of those who have been endangered by
really, this could happen to anyone. It's not just us. It's wow. Any single person.
I know you said there are.
I don't know about you, but this irritates me. This news anchor did not debunk anything. She protested that it was fake and portrayed Alefantis as a victim whose family-friendly business had been smeared by false accusations. Alefantis here is the bullied, and up until this point he was just an innocent man living his life of pizza making. Yeah right, there is no investigation of Alefantis here. No probing, no challenging by the media. They just present a victim narrative and chant the word fake, fake, fake. And then the false flag came. A false flag is an operation committed with the intent of disguising the actual source of responsibility and pinning blame on a second party. They are used constantly by the Illuminati elite and media to control the narrative and direct attention away from various real issues. False flags take the guise of terrorist attacks, identity smears, and dangerous catastrophic events. We will be exploring the media in more detail in a future episode.
Julie drove from North Carolina to the Washington restaurant.
It was December 4th. And man walked in the front door into a crowded dining room filled with families eating, carrying a loaded large AR-15 assault rifle. Walked through this dining room here, down this bar.
Of course, he couldn't find the basement full of horrors because it didn't exist.
This gunman went to this one locked spot, and at this point he shoots his AR-15.
Well, he lets off his rifle.
Yes. Into this door, and the bullets went into our computer system here.
Can I have a look?
Yeah.
Just check.
And there's our computer system still there in our messy closet.
But no secret basement.
No.
So he realized that there's nothing there.
Yeah, and immediately laid down his weapons, and he surrenders to the police.
And he ended up just shooting a computer.
Yeah.
I like the symbolism of that. He shot the only thing that had actually spread the trouble in the first place.
DeFantis denies that Comet Ping Pong has a basement and therefore could not have a kill room. Yet why, in a previous interview with Metro Weekly, did DeFantis talk about storing tomatoes in the restaurant's basement? I find it highly convenient that the only bullet fired by the lone gunman didn't actually harm a single person, but went straight into the hard drive of DeFantis' computer, eliminating any possible evidence that could have existed to the child trafficking and abuse. It's also very interesting that the media does not actually reference the specifics of the WikiLeaks emails and all the disgusting artwork. Why not quiz DeFantis on all the small references to pizza, pasta, and chicken? And I know, none of this actually proves there is a prevalent worship of Satan and a massive child trafficking ring, but let's not get ahead of ourselves. We are just getting started into exploring the true nature of Pizzagate and what WikiLeaks and Comet Ping Pong have revealed. Let's look closer at this guy. Who is James Achilles DeFantis? Well, we know he had a long-term boyfriend, David Brock. David Brock owns Media Matters, a non-profit company dedicated to comprehensively monitoring, correcting, and analyzing misinformation in the US media. How convenient. He has also been accused of pedophilia and exposed in past court cases with the documentary An Open Secret. Here is a picture from DeFantis' Instagram of David Brock and Lynn DeForester Rothschild. Another one of his Instagram posts holds some clues. The young man's t-shirt in this image is a French slogan that reads, "I love children." Could James DeFantis actually be a pseudonym and a bastardization of the French "J'aime les enfants," which means "I love children"? And what's with the name Achilles? Well, here is Maria Achilles Rothschild, mother of Evelyn Achilles de Rothschild, who fathered a bastard child, Louis George DeFantis, in 1915, and who inherited the surname of his unknown mother. Louis's grandchild shares the same name as none other than James Achilles DeFantis. Look closer at the Rothschild family photograph. Is this shady character DeFantis? We know Rothschilds love changing their names and lineage. Well, even if he is a Rothschild, that doesn't mean that all Rothschilds are into disgusting pedophilia and Satanism, does it? Let's jump back to 1972 and look at some of the images of one of the infamous Rothschild balls. The invitation is written in reverse. Inversion is a big deal for Satanists. Interestingly, a lot of Kim Noble's work features text written in backwards. Here are the hosts of the party. We have seen this imagery before. The half-human, half-horned goat. And look, more horns. These guests are sporting Saturn rings and one-eye imagery. There are references to babies and children and weird bodies on the dining tables. Here is a more recent photo of the head of the Rothschild family, Jacob Rothschild, with so-called artist Marina Abramovic. They are standing in front of a painting called Satan Summoning His Legions. James DeFantis also features a picture of Marina on his Instagram. And this is where it gets unbelievable. In the Podesta emails, there are messages sent from Marina Abramović to the Podestas expressing her excitement towards the planned spirit cooking event at her place. Just when you thought it couldn't get any more creepy, what the hell is spirit cooking? In 1996, Abramović hosted a performance art event called Spirit Cooking, which is a ritualistic way of saying cannibalism. The event involved instructions, written in so-called pig's blood, stating, "With a sharp knife, cut deeply into the middle finger of your left hand. Eat the pain." Look at this. This is not art. It is morbid and disgusting. But these millionaires and billionaires seem to love it. Here are some of the famous faces at these dinners and other faces that work with Abramović. Her Instagram handle is 666. She worked extensively with Lady Gaga. Gaga spoke about being left naked in the woods to fend for herself. These are the same methods of trauma-based mind control we see over and over again. Look closer at Podesta's middle finger on his left hand in this picture. Why does he have art depicting cannibalism hanging in his office? Why are these people attending spirit cooking events? This doesn't look like art. This looks like Satanism to me. And then there is the case of this restaurant. Notice the picture with Hillary Clinton? Look at their logo. In 2007, the FBI declassified documents outlining common symbols pedophiles use to communicate and signal one another. The triangle swirl indicates boy lover, the circular swirl, little boy lover, the heart within a heart, girl lover, and the butterfly and neutral child lover. Here, the big heart with the small heart inside it also signifies the union between big, i.e. adult, and small, i.e. child. Here is Besta Pizza. Besta Pizza is a Portuguese word for beast. Notice the triangle shape. They changed their logo soon after Pizzagate blew up. Why does the Pope wear this symbol proudly? Why is Sheila Jackson Lee, member of the House of Representatives, wearing a ring with a symbol on it? Why does Theresa May wear the swirl symbol around her neck? And why did she try to lower the age of consent to 14? Why do the logos of famous children's sweets and snacks contain these symbols? Why are they on children's toys? Why do protection agencies for children also have the logos? What about Johnson & Johnson? Why did they put the logo on nappies? Is paedophilia and child trafficking really organized in such a global, institutional, widespread manner? Laura Silsby was arrested over child trafficking in Haiti under the guise of the Clinton Foundation and eventually let off. Keith Raniere and Hollywood actor Alison Mack was arrested for running Nixium, a sex trafficking cult that branded their victims. John O'God, a so-called Brazilian healer, was arrested for trafficking on a grand scale. How has this become so widespread? Why do Disney films feature paedophile symbols regularly and references to sex and the Illuminati? And why the union between food, paedophilia, and satanic spirit cooking? Hollywood is the key to understanding this question.
I can tell you that the number one problem in Hollywood was and is and always will be pedophilia. That's the biggest problem for children in this industry.
The casting couch even applies to children.
Oh, yeah. Not in the same way. It's all done under the radar.
Nobody talks about pedophilia.
It's the big secret.
And it's widespread?
Oh, yeah. I was surrounded by them when I was 14 years old. Surrounded. Literally. Didn't even know it. It wasn't until I was old enough to realize what they were and what they wanted and what they were about and the types of people that were surrounding me till I went, oh, my God, they were everywhere like vultures.
Blacklisted from Hollywood years ago, Australian actor Mel Gibson disclosed off the record that Hollywood is a den of parasites who feast on the blood of kids. They are drenched in the blood of innocent children, according to Mel Gibson, who claims the consumption of baby blood is so popular in Hollywood that it basically operates as a currency of its own. The Hollywood elites are an enemy of mankind, continually acting contrary to our best interests and breaking every God-given taboo known to man, including the sanctity of children. It's an open secret in Hollywood. These people have their own religious and spiritual teachings and their own social and moral frameworks. They have their sacred texts. They are sick, believe me. And they couldn't be more at odds with what America stands for. I don't know how to break it to you gently. Hollywood is institutionalized pedophilia. They are using and abusing kids. And there he is. I thought we might see him on our journey down the rabbit hole. The White Rabbit. No sign of Alice just yet, but let's see. What Mel Gibson is referring to here is the drug adrenochrome. Its chemical structure is the shape of a rabbit, and it is produced naturally by our bodies. It is a chemical compound produced by the oxidation of adrenaline. Children produce the purest form of adrenochrome when exposed to high amounts of fear. The satanic ritual abuse releases a high amount of adrenochrome into the child's blood, who is then murdered. Drinking this blood then administers the drug into the system, causing an intense euphoric high. Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas specifically references this drug, as does Kubrick's A Clockwork Orange with its drenchrome that the protagonist and his gang put in their milk. It has another quality, however. It is an anti-aging serum.
To notice that blood specific means that young blood cells secrete some molecule or protein that helps heal the body and keeps it young. And as an organism ages, they lose the ability to make this molecule. Previously, it was thought that GDF11, a molecule that circulates throughout the blood, was the fountain of youth. But a recent study contradicts that finding. This new study, published in the journal Cell Metabolism, found that as mice aged, the more of this molecule circulated in their bloodstream. And as researchers injected aging mice with this molecule, the worse their muscles repaired themselves, so who really knows right now? But even though scientists are still figuring that out, other studies show that there is really something powerful about young blood. Other studies, like one published in journal Nature Medicine, found that young blood recharged the brains of older mice. Researchers ran mice through standard laboratory tests after they received an infusion of plasma from young mice. They did much better on the test than older mice without young blood coursing through their veins. In a similar Frankensteinian experiment, researchers stitched together older mice with a young mouse. They found that the young mouse blood rejuvenated the hearts of older mice. The older mice suffered from cardiac hypertrophy, a condition which thickens and swells the heart. After just 4 weeks of getting young blood from the other mouse, their heart shrank to a normal size. All of these studies sure make you want to drink a nice tall glass of young blood, eh?
This is what you look like on adrenochrome, and this is what you look like without it. Did you really think all these Hollywood actors were just naturally beautiful and young looking? And it was just surgery? And they never aged? Disney's Monsters, Inc. is a metaphor for the extraction and industry of adrenochrome production and consumption. Like always, they love hiding this in plain sight. The picture of Dorian Gray is another loose metaphor for adrenochrome consumption. This is not exclusive to Hollywood and politicians. It is a much wider, ancient satanic practice that has its roots in Moloch or Saturn worship. If you didn't have cognitive dissonance from Flat Earth, you've got it now. And I know it's painful, but it is necessary. You have to know the world we live in to understand the enormity of their lies, control, and crimes. And stay with me, I promise you the light returns in a very profound way in the next episode. I know, it's a difficult truth to accept, that the majority of stars and celebrities you have loved for so long are actually actively engaged in widespread pedophilia and the torture and murder of children. And many have spoken out about this. Elijah Wood, whose mother protected him from attending the Hollywood parties, went on the record to state that Hollywood has a major pedophilia problem. Chris Cornell of Audioslave and Chester Bennington of Linkin Park tried to expose these crimes and both ended up committing convenient suicides. Chester Bennington is an especially interesting one. His band, Linkin Park's logo, is a broken pedophile symbol. He was a victim of child abuse and was the son of his mother's friend, who used to abuse him as a boy. And don't you think he looks like the spitting image of someone we know? Oh, and speaking of lookalikes, remember the Madeleine McCann case? Well, that night in Portugal, witnesses described two men who the police created drawings of. Do these two seem familiar? Two brothers, perhaps? It's funny how the Podestas were staying at Clement Freud's mansion during the same time period as Madeleine's abduction, and is located just around the corner from where she went missing. Isaac Cappy spoke out about Tom Hanks raping him. He also called out Steven Spielberg for abuse. He went on record to say he was not suicidal, yet nonetheless he was found dead. The authorities ruled suicide. If you have a stomach for it, looking through Tom Hanks's Instagram is very revealing, as he has an interesting obsessive hobby of photographing the missing clothes items of young children. And speaking of clothing, what's with all the red shoes? Well, Macaulay Culkin tells us, during an interview in Paris, he said, "Have you ever seen leather products made from human skin? It has a very unusual, distinctive look. I learned at a very young age to identify it. I learned very early to recognize which one of them wanted to abuse you and which one of them had even darker tastes." In an exchange with a senior Hollywood big shot, he told him to look at his shoes. He said they were made from the skin of children he and his friends had murdered. He said leather made from human skin is the finest leather known to man. References to pizza, hot dogs, pedophilia and adrenochrome is rife in Hollywood. They are hiding it in plain sight.
Melina, you've always been so sweet. You really are a genuine fan, and it's amazing. And we've known each other for years.
Yeah.
You've been to my house. We've had pizza. Girl after my own heart, do we love a pizza or what?
We
love
a pizza.
It's so much fun. Now, someone did...
Life back. Hail Satan.
I eat children. How old are you?
12.
Oh, okay. Only to 10.
Only to 10.
That's good. Okay, we are
safe.
Yeah. That's good.
Children and pineapple.
The record straight. I tease Joe sometimes, but he has been at my side for 7 years. I love that man. He's not just a great vice president, he is a great friend. We've gotten so close in some places in Indiana, they won't serve us pizza anymore.
Let us stare upon his baby skin and chest hair, which can be accurately summed up as not yet a man, but not still a boy. But to be truly great, the host must accept.
Blow the lid off it, to be the whistleblower. I'm sick and tired of the secrets and the lies. It is the secret symbol of the Illuminati, and you're a part of it. And it is the all-mocking tongue.
Oh, I like it. It uses scraping.
It's the symbol of the all-mocking tongue. And I'm sick of it. I want everybody to be in on the joke, man. You know what I mean? Like, for years now, talk show hosts, people on television, people in sitcoms have been hired by the government to throw you off the track, to distract you, to make you laugh and stuff like that, make you happy and docile so you don't know what's really going on. You know, and they get out there in the woods in a circle naked and they decide these things and, you know, and you know, look at them trying to, cover it up. It's hilarious. And...
Hi, Mom. My name is Roy and And for the most evil invention in the world contest, I invented a child molesting robot.
Come on, go. Let's go eat some fried fish. Come on, Rogue, I mean go. Let's go eat some fried fish. 'Cause there's no more pasta, oh no. So we're gonna eat some fried fish. Bye!
whole box? Really?
Well, no, not
all right,
the whole box.
All right. All right. Cheese, that's a cheese. Cheese. Yeah. Julia wants cheese. Who's your favorite movie star? They're here. Well, who do you want to talk to? Oh, Sandy? Sandy, you have money. You've got a lot of money. You can tip him, right?
Sure, I'll take it.
Where's Harvey Weinstein? Harvey.
You see, Satanists believe that they have to reveal who they are in some form. That's why we see so many occult members continually displaying symbolism and things hiding in plain sight. It is also highly satanic to hide something in plain sight, to mock those that don't know. Those that follow them and just think they are being edgy. Those that buy children's products and watch Disney films without really knowing what the symbols or logos are. Why was Oprah such good buddies with John O'God? Why does James Gunn, the director of the Guardians of the Galaxy films, tweet openly about paedophilia? Why does Chrissy Teigen and John Legend openly tweet about this? Why is LeBron James making Illuminati worship signs before he plays? Why do they hail Satan? And I do not want to hear that they are just joking around. There is nothing funny about bloated Dwayne Johnson's sketch, or James Gunn's tweets, or Jennifer Aniston's pizza parties. No one speaks about pizza like that. It is not funny. These people are evil, and these people are sick. And they are laughing at us. They are laughing at the sheep that follow the stars. They are laughing as they hide our true flat earth and show us stupid spinning globes. They are laughing while they steal, molest, torture, kill, and eat our children. These are crimes against humanity. And Pizzagate has not been debunked. Do not let the mainstream media and Google and Wikipedia tell you otherwise. Use your common sense. They are lying and under the control of the Illuminati satanic power complex. Look up the owners of Fact Checker Snopes. They are a pair of degenerates, not officials. And I understand that these are dark, horrific, and difficult truths, but subscribing to your confirmation bias by buying into their labels of conspiracy theory is not the answer. There are too many so-called coincidences surrounding this satanic, pedophile elite, and to achieve the status of debunked requires a huge, full-blown investigation across multiple countries and by multiple investigation agencies. But again, we know how controlled and complicit these agencies are. Do you see the problem we are in? Are you angry yet? And no, this is not just America. How is it that the same themes and stories keep coming up in different countries, eras, and from different elite people? What about Ronald Bernard, a Dutch ex-Illuminati banker who couldn't take it anymore and had to speak out?
Nou, dat is dus het breekpunt geweest. Je komt zo diep in die kringen. Je tekent ook eigenlijk een... Ik heb niet met bloed getekend ergens voor, maar je tekent wel een contract voor je leven dat je zwijgt over namen van bedrijven, organisaties, personen. Dat is ook de reden waarom ik denk nog steeds leef. Je houdt je daaraan. Hun diende dus iets onstoffelijks. Hun diende wat zij noemde Lucifer. Mm-hmm. En ik kwam dus ook in die kringen. Alleen ik lachte erom, want het waren voor mij gewoon klanten. He, dus ik kwam in wat ze noemden Satanskerken.
Ik wou zeggen, we hebben het nu over het satanisme.
Ja.
Okay.
Ik kwam dus in Satanskerken, maar ik kwam zeg maar op route even langs, even buurten. En daar was dan op dat moment een heilige mis, hun heilige soorten mis. En dat was met blote vrouwen en wat drank en dit en dat. En ik vond het alleen maar leuk. Maar er kwam een moment, toen werd ik dus uitgenodigd, daarom vertel ik dit ook, om mee te gaan doen aan offers in het buitenland. Dat was het breekpunt. Kinderen.
Dat werd je gevraagd.
Ja, ik kon het niet.
What about the Hampstead case in England? Listen to what these children are saying.
I work with the social services.
And what did they do to you?
They do sex. They touch each other. They touch me and Gabriel. They have plastic quillings. And they stick it in our bottom.
Who does? Who sticks it in your bottom?
Social services. Richie, everybody Ella, does. All of them.
Who?
Everybody.
Does your mother do it?
No.
Do I do it?
No.
Who does it then?
Papa, Mrs. Holling.
Who? Parents.
Tell me more people.
Tell me some more people, please.
Parents,
I'm interested.
Parents, police.
What about the teachers at school? Who's the main one?
Papa, Mr. Hollings, Mrs. Forsdyke.
Who's Mrs. Forsdyke?
She's the head teacher. Of our school.
And what does she do?
And she does sex. She got a big belly with a big tattoo on her thigh.
And what happens in the church?
And we do baby sacrifice and eat the baby.
What do you mean sacrifice and eat the baby?
So we kill the baby and eat it and drink the blood from it.
Is that true, Gabriel?
Yes. And we dance with the skulls.
Again, the media and courts wrote this off as lies perpetrated by their mother and took her children away from her and gave custody to their father, the same man abusing them and indoctrinated them into these satanic rituals. They now live in LA with their father and are becoming Hollywood stars. What about the way the BBC covered up Jimmy Savile? He was best buds with Margaret Thatcher and Prince Philip. Are we that stupid to think they were not aware or involved somehow? And what about the Queen of England and her family? Why was the court case against her involvement in the missing children in Canada dropped and never brought back up again? Why was a young boy filmed by accident trying to escape Buckingham Palace? Why did Kate dress like Rosemary out of Rosemary's Baby when announcing their newborn? Everyone knows that Rosemary gives birth to Satan's child. And why do so many people go missing in the Rothschild-owned Black Forest in Germany? And what about Prince Andrew and his connections to Jeffrey Epstein and the victims speaking out about him? Look what he says in a BBC interview.
She was very specific about that night. Mm. She described dancing with you and you profusely sweating and that she went on to have bath, possibly...
There's a slight problem with the sweating because I have a peculiar medical condition, which is that I don't sweat, or I didn't sweat at the time, and that was... Yes, I didn't sweat at the time because I had suffered what I would describe as an overdose of adrenaline in the Falklands War.
Even a doorknob can tell that this bloated waste of space is lying. Why was he allowed to sit on the board for the NSPCC? What about all the celebrities and elites on Jeffrey Epstein's flight logs? What about Ghislaine Maxwell, who has recently been arrested for trafficking? Did you know that she was Epstein's handler and her father was a triple agent for the MI5, CIA and the Mossad? The Mossad again. He also owned British media outlets. Oh, and you know that really renowned, respected space scientist? Well, here he is at Epstein's Island and on one of Maxwell's submarines. That's right, Maxwell was a submarine pilot and her non-profit work had her eyes set on the oceans. Let's just say that if you really wanted to traffic people in a very discreet way, a submarine network would be a good way to achieve it. Why is it that anyone that speaks out against the Clintons, such as Anthony Bourdain, ends up suicided? And what is on Anthony Weiner's laptop that is so bad? Arrested for being another disgusting pervert, Weiner's laptop was seized by the New York Police Department. It allegedly contained a folder called insurance in which there were many elites in compromised positions doing things to children. Attorney Sidney Powell spoke about this.
675,000 Clinton emails when they got Anthony Weiner's laptop in a search warrant because of all his sex perversion issues. It was all the Clinton emails, the Clinton Foundation, her Secretary of State emails, Huma Abedin's emails. Lots of people emailed Huma as a proxy for Hillary. So one of the things, if I were the president, I'd do is demand the Anthony Weiner laptop and get it to the most trusted person in the military to take apart everything on it and then start using it. There's a lot that can be prosecuted, I have no doubt, on that laptop. In fact, I heard that the New York police officers who saw some of it, even though they're hardened investigators, literally had to go throw up. It's bad.
Many of the police officers that saw what was on the laptop are now dead. It allegedly contains footage of Hillary Clinton and Huma Abedin, her right-hand woman and wife of Anthony Weiner, doing unspeakable things to children. This is how it works. Ronald Bernard is correct when he says the only reason he is still alive is because he has not named names. When you enter this satanic cult religion, it is a bond for life and you do not stray or speak out because they have compromised footage and images of you. That is why Epstein and Maxwell are so important. They have the footage and the evidence. And remember, this was one of the Illuminati's objectives in the 1700s for gaining control. The top of the media firms are compromised. They will bury, cover, and lie to protect those at the top. This was filmed by someone in their bedroom near CERN in Switzerland.
What the f***?
The Guardian wrote this off as a hoax. Well, I'm sorry, but since when has The Guardian had the authority to claim conclusions over any investigative authority? And doesn't all this Satan worship and sexual perversion remind you of something? Kubrick's Eyes Wide Shut. I find it very interesting that Kubrick died before the film's release and before he had made the final cut. Many Kubrick fans have discounted the film as not a true Kubrick picture because it was edited without his consent after he died. How convenient. You see, I think Kubrick was trying to tell us something, and he specifically revealed a lot to Nicole Kidman. And just like the rest that speak out and try to show the world what is hiding in plain sight, he ended up dead and silenced. I'm surprised no one has got to Ricky Gervais yet. And this is the point. Satanism and such evil is real. The act of raping and torturing a child is satanic in itself. We wouldn't even need the symbolism and imagery to justify that as anything less than Luciferian and evil. But you see, the symbolism is there. And it is because of the infiltration and control of all the organizations of the world that the information we are given is lies and primarily fake. Our entire history as humans has been edited heavily by the satanic Illuminati elite. That is why they are illuminated, because they know a lot more of what our existence is and where we come from. Hollywood, celebrities, the sexualization of all culture, the arts, sports, and rumors and gossip are all deliberately constructed complexes as a form of distraction and control, in the same way that war, politics, poverty, disease, and nihilism is all deliberately choreographed to keep us ignorant, dependent on slave wage debt systems, and living in fear. If you are frightened, you are easier to control. All the while, they carry out their sick, twisted religion and laugh at us. But things are about to change, and I truly believe a lot of their actions will soon be exposed to the light for the whole world to see. But that's another video. If you want to pursue more research into this topic, then there is a lot of information out there. But I don't know about you, but I'm ready to leave this behind. We have to stick to our journey in discovering flat Earth. We have made it through the darkest of the rabbit holes. Come with me now to part 8. I am going to finally show you what NASA and the Illuminati satanic religion of scientism are hiding from us.